I'd like to welcome everybody here. And I guess I'll say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful this beautiful morning for moisture we received, for the beauties that surround us, and the stewardship we have for the Deer Springs Ranch. We ask you to bless and inspire us with wisdom and good judgment as we discuss the needs of the ranch this day. And these things we pray for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, roll call. Let's see. Jody, are you kind of helping Mariah out today or not? Or, you know, she made any arrangements or notes or...
I've got the financial report. That's what I don't have any notes from her except for what we talked about, financials.
Okay.
So I am here with the QuickBooks open if anybody has questions about QuickBooks.
Okay, who else is on the phone besides Barry and you, Jody? Anybody else? Vance, are you there?
Is Barry there?
I think Vance is driving up.
Michael and Joanne Stallone.
Are they on the line?
Hello? Identify yourself if anybody else is listening, please.
Hello, it's Michael and Joanne Stallone.
Hello, Joanne. Good morning from Deer Springs.
Good morning.
Danny, could you write down who's in attendance right now for us, please?
I got it.
You got it? Okay. Minutes from last... we received the minutes in the mail?
No, we never got the minutes.
I was going to say, I hadn't read them. So we can't approve them if we haven't gotten them.
Jody requested them by email about 3 weeks ago, but nothing happened.
Yeah, I seen a request, but I never saw the minutes either.
Okay, we don't have the minutes. We'll make another request of Jeff then. Okay, Jody, you're on financial report.
Okay. In our main checking account, we have about $86,813. In the manager's account, we have about $1,835. And we're still holding on the savings account, $11,546. We haven't pulled from it yet to cover the extra expenses. We will probably not do that till the end of the year when we know where we actually stand and how much we need to pull. So right now, things are still just coming out of the general fund. We've now collected 100% of the annual dues that we did anticipate receiving for the year. If we get anything in over this, that will be just the gravy. We've collected $600 in total from donations from Phil, Joe and Candy, Bob and Barbara Becker, Lee Beller, and my husband and myself for the commercial washing machine. We're still looking for about $400 more to cover the entire cost. I did post that on Facebook that we could use some more donations for it, but at this time, we're about $400 short of reaching that goal, but we still have time to bring that in. We're still waiting to hear from Garkane to see if they have a driver that can service us now before switching. That's the last word I got from Mariah on that. And as far as we just received our fuel delivery, so I don't think is posted in your print of the P&L as of yet. It's not in mine as of yet because it just happened. I don't think Mariah's got that posted yet, but it just happened about a week ago. But we spent $2,500 for about 1,000 gallons worth of fuel for unleaded and about $1,400 for red diesel, and that was for 644 gallons. Last time when I was there, I did check the shirt and hat inventory to see about increasing the levels at the store for the Western Legends event, but we are full with the inventory, so I did not make another order. So we still have plenty to sell this year. hopefully that increases our store sales account. Anybody have any questions on the budget or the P&L?
Alan has a question. Go ahead, Alan.
Can you clarify who the managers are, what that fund's for?
The manager's fund?
Yeah, who are the managers?
That would be you and Rita?
Yeah.
And whatever miscellaneous that we would need at the ranch while we're there. Can you give me some more specific, or does that help answer?
I'm a little confused because we just received a letter of congratulations to be the caretakers.
It's synonymous. I mean,
we've had this discussion lots of times, and sometimes managers fits better than caretakers, and sometimes caretakers fits a little better. So you manage yourselves, and you manage being on site and members coming and things that we can't, as a board, all do because we need somebody as a focal point here. And then you take care of those responsibilities that you have, such as assisting members and cabin changeover, cleaning, laundry. I mean, and those kinds of things, you're a caretaker of those things. So please don't get hung up on the semantics of either name, because Jody could have said caretakers just as easily as managers.
Glad it's clarified.
And Alan,
Alan, the letter came from who?
Mariah.
Mariah.
And with all of your signatures.
I didn't sign it. We've had managers on a ranch for 40 freaking years, and to just—I mean, it doesn't. If that's good with you guys, and you know, this is such a small point. It's a moot point, really. To me, you're the managers of the ranch, and
like the thing we don't mean is like if we were to hire an outside entity to come in and manage all things, take over the daily operation, take over all the money. And Deer Springs Ranch, we had a contract with them, kind of like they've done with the national parks in like Yellowstone. They're either contractors or managers. They're managing contractors. So there's a lot of back and forth on that, and we don't want to defend you either way or infer that you're more or less from either description.
It looks like it's too late for that.
But the reason we've been a little more sensitive ourselves is in hiring this last time, we had quite an incident with the wife of one of the people that wanted to be here, and she had quite a different idea of what managing meant. And so I think that's why we've thrown around both terms. Does that help at all?
I refer to you, to the people that you're in charge, you're the manager, you're the caretaker, you're the supervisor. That's my wife. She's also my longtime friend, so I can call her a friend or my wife. It's the same person, so she doesn't change no more than you. You're in charge, and we appreciate it.
And you're a manager, and you're doing a great job. And we appreciate you.
Yeah, so it's furthest thing from our heart that you be offended by the semantics of either term. Yes.
Yes, sir. With someone or the board sit down to create a job description.
We've done that. Yes. Okay, moving on, any more questions about a financial report?
Yes. Can I ask Alan? Alan, are you guys aware of the checking account, how to use it, what to use it for? Because I did look through the bank account, and you guys aren't spending any money at all. Yay, but at the same time, I know you need things there. So that ranch manager's checking account is to cover you for supplies needed, and I want to make sure you're knowing how to use that. If not, we can have an email discussion on it, because I don't know that you're utilizing it to what you could.
Why don't you do that, Jody?
What other than the supplies that we've been getting?
Well, you know, your regular Costco runs, your anything at the stores in St. George, you can also use that account to get gas while you're in town if you need to do that. You haven't been doing that. You've been doing it from the tank there at the headquarters, which either one's okay. But if you're out and about, you can get gas. And then, like, say if somebody needed to, someone dropped by and we had to do something financial that day at the ranch, as long as there's funds in the account, you can do that and then let Mariah know, and then she can reimburse from our checking account into your checking account. So to cover, like, if the fish guy came and he delivered $1,400 worth of fish, we got to make sure we have the $1,400 in that account first, and then you can pay it. And if you don't have it in that account, then Mariah has to send them a check. So anything like that, if Joe and Candy need to go out and get, there's something for something for cabin two for $131 or something like that, they need to get cash for to go out and get that, that's fine too. You can use it out of that account. So just so you know, it's just for miscellaneous and whatever you need there to keep the operation going, not the big ticket items, because that'll have to come out of the main checking.
Thank you.
That help?
Thanks, Jody.
You're welcome.
Hey, Alan.
Or 220 for these.
We pay 250 for cash.
Wow. It's better than I pay in cash in St. George.
I just thought we'd get a better deal than that from them. You can buy it. You can buy the Indian reservations for $232.
No pass.
You can't buy it anywhere in the state, though. It's up to 270 something.
Nobody else would respond, so Jenkins is the only one that responded to the call.
But see, in Vegas, we pay $235 average for the last few months.
We're up $279
That's less than St. George, though.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay, listen, Alan,
I just thought if we bought, you know.
There is a thing under here, metering for diesel fuel. Is that something you asked Mariah to put on the schedule or something you want to talk about?
If you want to keep track of what's going through that, this has a meter on it, the gravity flow on this, but neither the 800-gallon tank or this 300-gallon tank for diesel has a gauge, and there's no way to know what fuel you're going through unless we meter.
So the gas, this is gasoline, and the diesel ones don't have a meter.
Either one of them.
Are they expensive? Do you know anything about them?
They're not too bad. I mean, that hand crank, it wouldn't be hard to stick a meter on it. Or this one out here, the gravity.
I'd move that we put meters on those.
I agree. We should put a meter
and
on
And not only that, the pieces of equipment that we use, we don't know what fuel's going in because half the fuel gauges don't work. But if we did that, that would give us an idea what fuel's going through. We aren't going to be accurate because that pump, every time I turn that pump on, it's going to be taking so much fuel out of their diesel. But for the equipment, we can keep a handle on that. To know how much is going through the equipment.
I would imagine that the ages for the tanks is a little more difficult to take care of, is it? But I don't know.
You mean on the individual vehicles?
Oh, not the vehicles. But, oh, you're talking about vehicles, not the
no, vehicles. I'm always talking about tanks. The tanks.
Oh, gotcha.
Sticking a meter on the tank so I know how much I'm pumping out.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion that we... next time Alan's in town, if you're here, meters for the diesel tanks.
Second.
There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Jody?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Jody? Okay, the vote is unanimous. Good. Okay, anything else, Alan, you want to discuss with us today? Any needs, questions or worries or?
Yeah,
Any questions any of the board have for them in your areas of concern or in general?
I can speak a little for him. He's been very busy up there and been having a lot of problems with cabin number two. He and Alan and Peter both worked pretty hard on having to take out a ceiling there because of mice. And also he's been working on a septic tank that's overflowed, and he's been up there working a lot on that. He has gone up, done a little bit of grading. He's got a little bit of grading done. Got the grader up and running. And he's had to clean out some of the culverts up there.
Yeah, they're all...
He's been working pretty hard on that.
I spent all morning just digging up.
Is it late going back and forth now? What'd you find wrong?
I saw these lines across.
You didn't have to say that. You said I just fixed it.
Hey, well, when we got this new log splitter, we got them crossed there when they put it together.
Yeah, we bought that for half an hour.
And he's been stripping these benches here so we can get them all painted. See these tables here?
See the grill over there? They are painted.
They're looking good.
Yeah. So there's a lot he's been doing. There's been a lot of stuff going on.
I know he's been on the brush hog, and he's been everywhere.
Since it's
repaired.
I'll just put this out. Driving up and down the Crawford side, not all the way up to my place, but as you go Crawford and up, there are, we're losing some gravel because we need a side ditch that drains it to where Helpert is, and we're getting mud just kind of coming over the road, and then there's a couple of culverts that are just about covered.
Yeah. And Alan cleaned those once coming down.
How big a culvert are they?
They're some are one and some are 2 footers. And, Alan cleaned those. I haven't cleaned all of mine. And let me tell you, they're all plumb chuck full right now after these rains. So,
yeah, this one down here, we had this major one we had down here, a major buckshot. We had after Bordelani, what have you. Had ready to watch. County was up there, and they did a good job helping with that, but then it went up again, and he had to go up there and unplug it and have to haul what gravel and rocks he could to fill in a big washout over there. I'll use this time here to say this much, that we need a load of rocks in there, and we need an uptruck.
Yeah,
but anyway, I probably am going to have to hire somebody to haul a load up there. It really needs it. It's going to wash out again. But he's been up there working on it, and the roads up there on Crawford, we were just able here within the last couple of weeks to really get that grader up and working, and so now.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it's working. It's
great. He will be able to do
so. So, Phil, is that something that the backhoe, because it's up to the upper cabin drain now for that septic system. Is that something that can be run up there and get the culvert after we're done with that septic system?
Yeah. I think so.
So I got Eric on the septic tank up there.
Uh-huh.
They're going to deliver 26, 28 yards of gravel. That. I wonder if we could talk him into having Alan fill him up with some of our gravel, use his dump truck to dump what we need something. Maybe he'll do that since the truck's up here, unless he has turnaround time and he doesn't have time to do it.
We won't expect him to do it free. You
no,
know,
I don't know expect him to do it free, but I mean, we can ask.
We can hire his truck.
Which I plan on. He may not have time, but we can at least ask.
Good idea.
So we ought to ask in advance. Then.
Yeah, I'll call him on the phone.
Okay.
For a chance I get.
That would save us a $300 trip out here from North Church or somebody. So,
while you're on dump,
he can haul up 28 yards of gravel. He can haul a lot of, rock. He can haul some stuff for us.
Two members that I know of have kind of come forward a little bit and said that they they have dump trucks that they'd like to, you know, trade, work, order, tackle work. Brad Pierce, right? Talk to you.
Oh, Brad.
He talked about bringing a, he talked to Alan, talked about bringing a dump truck out, maybe even leaving it out here, and to rent it as needed, or I don't know what the deal was, but that's a, just a thought. And also the Covington's up there. Just FYI, while you're talking about dump trucks, you know, get it all.
Yeah, so many of them want to use our tractor. Like the Covingtons want to use our tractor. I haven't had good luck with people using our tractor. And Brad Pierce could certainly operate the tractor fine.
Where are you going now?
Well, keep track of where you have trouble, and then
yeah,
just let them know. They ask again, we have to use somebody else.
If you have a concern, could we use Alan to start tractor to work for them and we're going to change
for well, yeah, we can. In exchange for work, we're doing well.
Yeah, we'll leave it up.
Hey, you guys, you guys
work that out, and I agree with you. You know, he's got, Alan's got his normal.
Yeah.
Things.
Clarification. Talk
about
hitting
a
Meadow
Canyon.
Meadow Canyon.
About that one spot that.
That one big washout. It needs rocks. Not just grab bigger rocks that won't wash away. And we got them.
Okay.
Just don't have a way of getting them up.
Yeah. Anything else you thought of? Alan, well, thank you, Alan.
Appreciate you.
Yep, well, we do appreciate you. Probably,
you too, Peter.
Probably not enough. So, rules and regulations regarding camping fees, Jody. Western Legends Wagon Train. Yeah.
Okay. I went ahead and got a hold of Ken from the Western Legends again. Asking them, I sent them two emails about what we were proposing to them, and I had not received answers. So I talked with them again last week, and so we've confirmed that the wagon train will be rolling into headquarters on Tuesday, that's August 22nd, for their luncheon. They plan to be there about an hour to an hour and a half. Little change of plans on their end. They're no longer requesting to camp the support vehicles outside of the HQ the night prior. But, Alan, if they do come in and start parking out there, we're still charging the same $100 flat fee, either if they use it or not, because we thought that was a reasonable amount to charge. So if they do come the night before asking where they can park or where they're allowed to camp, please refer them back to that same area. And I gave them GPS coordinates for it so they know where they can stage their support vehicles. But I did tell
Jody. So the $100, yes. Let me clarify, is really a kind of a combination of using headquarters and parking as much as they want or not in that spot. Is that right? Is that an overall kind of fee for the event? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So you know, they'll be paying the $100 anyway. So if they decide at the last minute they want to have some people camping there, so be it. That was part of the original talk, so I don't see any problem with that. But when they do come in that day, when they come into headquarters, and this will be like, we'll need Alan there and Vita there and Sunshine there, we don't want any vehicles coming in except for the catering trucks and the covered wagons. Everybody else is to park outside in that spot and then at the camping spot, and they can walk on in from there. The caterers, they're bringing in their own tables and chairs, and they will do their own setup and breakdown, Alan, so you don't have to get involved with that part. And the caterers will also be fixing their lunches. If we could clear out the place, the spaces underneath the shade trees, of course they're going to want to be in the shade when they set it up. So that would be, you know, something that, Alan, you guys can do ahead of time. They will want to use the restroom facility, of course, but they said they will not need the showers. But again, in case someone does want to use the showers, they do know the rate of $10 per person to do that. And Alan and Fita, if you could leave some towels or have towels available So in case anybody does change their mind, but for the only staying an hour and a half, I doubt that's going to happen, but just in case. They can supply their own shampoo or whatever else they need, but we're just going to supply the towel if they do need it. If that were to occur, I would send them, Sunshine had volunteered to be there for the day to handle the money in the store. Are you there, Sunshine?
She's not here.
She's not.
Okay, will you relay this to her, John, that day, if she will be there to manage the store and collect the funds of the people showering and the sodas and Gatorades that we'll have there, which I'll go into next. Want to make sure, Alan, if you can make sure there's enough water in the troughs for the livestock so they can water down their horses when they do come in. And they'll, and then also to have a cooler. And if Marv comes up before that event, I'm going to have him bring up a big white 100-quart cooler that we don't use. And you can just open that up and throw bags of ice in it and then throw in the sodas and Gatorades so that they can buy them while they're there. I know after being on the trail for so long when it's going to be hot like that, they're going to die for soda and Gatorades. So the more ice down they are, the better. And also to have grab bags of snacks available, like those Fritos, Cheetos, potato chips, that kind of thing, so they can buy that, too, for the next excursion on their way. Those will be charged at the same thing we charge our membership for. I mean, we didn't talk about increasing rates for that. I think it's just okay. And so we can possibly collect a few more dollars income from that. And if Sunshine can be there that day to monitor it and collect monies for that, then it won't be like, who do we pay here, and money go all over the place. So that would be great. Also, John, I don't know if Sunshine can do this ahead of time, or I know Alan's pretty busy and he is busy, but if we could have about enough T-shirts and all the sizes available, the Deer Springs Ranch T-shirts available, I would say maybe like three or four of each size in that display case and about 25 to 30 hats to sell. We might be able to sell some of those days, that day as well. So if you have those out there, that would be great. Received the insurance certificate, and we are listed as additionally insured, so we're covered there for liability. And that's about all I have on the event. It's going. It's basically about 60 people in total. There's about 20 customers as of his last count, which was just about a week ago. So it won't be a very big event this year, but it'll give us time to figure this out for next year, too, if they do it again.
Question.
Go ahead, John.
So the showers are $10. We furnish towels and they furnish shampoo?
No.
Yeah, all we furnish is the towel. One towel per person.
$10.
Yes.
Okay. Now, The parking is covered in the 100 that we're always, so we don't have to worry about collecting anything for that should they need it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. And you know where the parking is.
Back out here. Okay.
Okay.
And then, the other thing, you mentioned ice, you use the word if, If means we got to have ice. I don't think we have ice here. So are we going to go get ice and have it here?
Oh, yes. We'll have to have.
You have not up here?
Sorry?
About 3-4 bags. And our 3 is over here.
8 will come in months. So we'll have to make sure we have some ice.
We'll get the ice.
Okay, we're just working out the ice thing, Joey.
Right. That's my question.
We work it out.
If I can get Marv up there before that event happens, we'll bring that 100-gallon cooler, and then you can throw the ice bags in there, go get it the day before, the night before, and then have it like a block baby in there to keep it cold, and that will keep the ice cold too.
Pretty sure.
So do we have? Do you have a cooler down there?
Yeah, we do
have a big cooler.
Okay, then I won't worry about sending that up. Okay, because I just lugged it home last time, so I'm like, okay.
Okay, any more questions about the event from anyone? Well, thank you, Jody. Thanks for all those calls and arrangements you've made.
Thanks.
Let's, let's move on then to number six for Barry. Under A, proposed amendment to bylaws to clarify quorum as it relates to any member's meeting. Barry, you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it seems like we discussed that last time, didn't we not?
Yeah, we discussed it and voted on it. I don't know if there's anything else to discuss. It's a matter of, I'd like to see the meeting minutes to see the exact language that Jody read off, but whatever, that was approved, so it just needs to be sent out with the notice to the annual meeting. There's nothing else to discuss.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thanks, Barry. Okay,
no problem.
Annual meeting discussion and agenda events.
I have one more thing on legal, in case you check out. Is that okay?
Yeah, if we can deal with that, the last thing for me, because I'm going to have to go here in about 5 minutes.
When and if we ever close our contract with AmeriGas, I wonder if we can have Mariah ship you a contract or whatever contract is that we've signed that we've been living under, and so that we can make sure that we're treated appropriately and fairly and legally as we check out as far as fees are concerned. The propane in those tanks will be ours if they charge us for it or any complications. I was wondering if you'd be willing to look over that contract and help us out with that.
Absolutely. In fact, if you can get her to send me the contract sooner rather than later, I'd be happy to go through it. And then when we pull the trigger, then we can just follow through and make sure that we don't get taken advantage of.
And there's a chance that they can't even find the contract that's been so long, and that we'd be living under no contract necessarily other than what they dictate to us.
Well, and we can tell them what they can and can't do. We've already paid for the gas. There's no question. They can't charge us for that. We get to keep it. Well, it will be up to us to work with Garcane to capture that gas and make sure it's there. And then if they don't come and pick up their tanks in a timely manner, then we'll haul them to town and send them a back charge for it. So I'll help with all that stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, we're going to skip over me and go right, keep talking about the propane issue. Brad, do we have a motion from you on the propane?
Just can I make a statement really quick before I motion? Thank you.
You bet.
The propane manager, Clint Shinoff, came out and toured the ranch along with another truck, which was their service guys. And their service guys went and they filled everybody.
Filled mine.
Everybody, they maintained it and filled up all the people on the ranch. So everything is totally in place with all of the assurances for everything that we've checked into as far as Garcane is concerned. And they've actually hired the old AmeriGas driver that serviced us. So we still have our same service guy.
I think his name was Jesse, I think.
I just want to be on, if they're coming back out here, I'd like to be on the list of somebody.
Switch.
I own my own tanks. I just need gas.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, they'll be coming out here. So would you make a list for us, Alan, as far as people to fill? But I'd like a motion that we, because of all of the benefits of the ranch financially, service, and contractually, I motion that we change our propane provider from AmeriGas to Garcane.
Second.
There's been a motion, and it's been seconded.
I'd like to make a statement first.
So discussion on the motion, then. Joe wants to have some discussion.
Well, I'm in favor. First of all, I'm in favor of going to Garcane. I've already have a couple years ago.
Okay.
But I own my own tank, so they didn't charge me, or AmeriGas didn't charge me for dropping me or them picking me up. I would like to see in writing what AmeriGas is going to charge us. I don't want to get raped over this by AmeriGas. I'd like to see it.
You personally, are you talking about you and your tank?
No, about the ranch. They're going to charge us a bunch of fees, and Garcane has already taken that into consideration and told us that they would be helping us compensate for the whatever fees that we get charged by lowering our first fill-up prices in the tank that they, so they're actually going to pay our fees, a lot of them, along with pretty much giving us tanks.
Yeah, no, that's what he said, but I'd like to see that in writing. I don't want to be caught off guard here and not represent the ranch the way they should be. But I'm, other than that, I'm in favor of it, yes. But I'd like to see them give us something that they would.
Well, we can ask for that, but do you want to amend the motion?
No, I just wanted to make sure that we're...
Then, is there any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, then we'll take a vote. All in favor of Brad Hunt's motion to make the change to Gartane from AmeriGas, vote yay or nay.
Yay.
Okay, the voting is unanimous. Why don't you go ahead, Doug, and
Brad.
I was looking at the paper here and saw Doug again.
In that motion, is there a
date that you're
talking about?
Phil?
Yeah. Well, we have one question on the date, and I think it's as soon as we, we'll just be telling them and make it as soon as it can be done. Yes, Barry.
I have to jump off, so I'll just report real quick that I'm meeting with Doug Hunt tomorrow to discuss changes to the an extension of the cattle lease. I would anticipate that in the following week, then I'll have an email, a report of how that discussion goes and what happens in that discussion out to the board so that we can look at that. He would really like to have approval and an extension on the contract, assuming the terms can be agreed to prior to the annual meeting if possible. So I'll report on that and see what we can do.
All right.
That sounds good, Barry. I just remember in the renegotiation, we want to have the wording in there that the past contract is null and void or forgiven or whatever the debts that we owed, and that this new contract will carry us from this time point, just so that's clear.
Yep, that's part of what I anticipate discussing with them. And I may be able to jump back on in about a half an hour, but I've got to go right now, so I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you.
Okay, we're hoping we're gone by then. All right, thanks.
Well, I'll dial back in and see. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate it. So does that boil down your discussion points to the fencing project? You want to talk about that today?
Yeah, just a little bit. See, the fencing... The bulls are getting through. We thought that we brought it up over where we needed to, but now there's bulls coming through from Broad Hollow to the airport thing. And so once again, we're in breach of contract in having a fence there. So we're going to go back to work on that and try to fix that up. The fencing around.
Is that around Johnny Brown?
No, that's Broad Hollow. And it's the fencing that we needed to do to complete our contract with Doug Hunt as far as rotating animals and bulls.
So mostly around Broad Hollow?
Between Broad Hollow and the airport.
Okay.
We also have cows that are encroaching us on Podunk. And I've talked with the people out to Podunk, namely Karen, Fry, Brad, Pierce, Kathy and Leland Gentry, and I think everybody's starting to get on the same page, and they understand what our obligations are, but also we understand what we can possibly do, and we have to get eyes on to be able to know exactly what we have to move forward to do. The BLM, it's a BLM permit fence that we're talking about over in Johnny Brown and Podunk, and so it's between us and another permit carrier. So the BLM has agreed that they'll help with the cost of supplies, of fencing supplies, if we're working on those BLM fences. We just need to go collect those supplies from the BLM in order to do that. And so I'll talk with Alan, and we'll try to make contact. Our representative, can't think of his name right now, but our BLM steward, he works out of the CNAB office right down here. I'll think of his name and I'll tell you who it is. anybody have any questions on the fencing?
So, Brad,
so you're a point man here on the fencing, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And working with our other members who have complained severely about the black cows coming in and doing damage on their property. So,
right, the Pierce.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this has been a historical problem for a long time because we have 100-year-old fences, but I think that we can fix this, and we'll go get eyes on, and we'll be able to be better educated exactly how and make a plan. They're willing to do some labor. We might can put community work parties together, and we can go out, and we can repair the fences that need to be repaired.
That sounds great.
In order for them not to have these cows coming in and tromping on them.
Okay. Anything else?
Brad?
Yes.
Just got a question.
Go
hey, Brad, the other BLM grazing permit holder on the other side of the fence, I forget their names. What's their names? But they can help pitch in on that, too?
Fingerhoff,
that's it. And have we approached them on that?
We've talked to them. They've actually worked on the fence before. But the truth is, Jody, is the way the law is, it's the response, the parties who wants to keep the cows out is responsible for keeping the fence or maintaining the fence. The other party necessarily doesn't have a legal responsibility. However, I talked with Hal Hamblin personally, and he has no desire for his cows to come over onto us, and they have worked on that fence themselves. And so I think we're in a good situation here, that if we don't get people mad and we work together and try to co-opt this thing between us, our members, the BLM and Alan, and we can have success maybe there for the first time in years, I'm hoping.
Okay, that's good, because I thought they were pretty amicable people over there and thought they might be willing to help out, so that would be good.
Three different committees, and some of them are more amicable than others.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what it means. We have a problem.
Okay. Okay.
Christy Westward, the NCRS person who will be applying or helping us to get the grant money to do agriculture projects on the ranch. She came out and toured the ranch. She brought with her the Brent Rodriguez, an engineer, and we looked at the erosion problems that we're having. We looked at the water project that we're proposing, and we'll be getting some help with that as far as an engineer is concerned in developing a plan to improve leaf springs and possibly the solar well on Half Moon Reservoir Spring. There's a piping here at the well pasture. She also said that we are very next in line to be funded. So things are looking really, really positive as far as something coming our way. We haven't heard back from the state of Utah. We were dealing with Randy Marshall, and I don't know where we're at. We've been in the ranking process in order to get some state money, but if we get some of that, it will dovetail right into the NCRS program. They work together with the state, and we might even be able to pay less money to have these projects done as we work together to make some of those things happen. So that's just the report on that. The fire protection, Ralph Morrison, Lot 99 and 100, volunteered to help us out with that. I've contacted him by email. Also, Brent Fulmer has contacted him or said that he was going to contact him. So hopefully we're developing some kind of a fire committee. I think that this takes really quite a lot of time to go to some of these meetings and stuff, and so if we could get some help from our membership in that area, it would be fantastic for us to be able to be more organized and to do a better job worrying about our fire protection. I dismantled another fire pit at Cabin 7. I know that there's some fire pits at the other cabins. I believe we're in a consensus that we shouldn't have cabins as fires at the individual cabins. Is that correct?
Are you saying per
cabin?
Per time of year, the directions from the forest fires, or at all?
I'm saying all the time we should know where the fires are at our ranch when they're happening. If we've been under strict fire,
the fire code right now is that there's a ban on camp.
And yet we have members coming here because we have a fire pit out there. You can't see up there. I went up there when I was here last week, and there was members out there roasting hot dogs and whatever outside of their cabin. We're under a strict fire ban, and so I had to tell them, hey, sorry to be the bad guy. This is a issue right now, and we can't have that.
So dismantling the fire pits
would discourage it. And then maybe making a fire pit and clearing out a safe area and providing maybe with some water somewhere up there where if they wanted to go have a hot dog roast or something, maybe we need to make a fire pit up there somewhere so people can go to have that experience, but yet we don't risk our forest and our cabins.
To follow up with that, Brent is already in contact with them. He's been up there at cabin 2. It's all flagged off what they're going to go in, and they're going to secure that area and make it an example so that members can go up there and look and say, this is what we need to do to our cabin. Or to our property to make it.
You can come look at my place too. I've got a ongoing permit to have a fire even when there's this stuff because I have grass hoses. And so county has come out to my pit and inspected it and given me that kind of a permit.
Yeah, they're going up to the tree. They've got everything flagged what they're gonna do limb and trim and make that so it's not a fire hazard.
Andy?
And talking to Brent, he also said it's all flagged off with a little pink ribbon.
For the limbing and trimming.
And if members want to go above and see how the correct way to limb the limb is.
And that where is where? Which?
Cabin 2.
Around cabin 2, that's right.
He said in a couple of weeks, they'll have the ready to go up there. So Brent will notify us. We can notify others of that, perhaps on the website. They're going to take all the lemon trim material, flash it, and then just put it down as a real thin paste in some of the areas so you don't get erosion. So it is set up, as Alan said, and just the other day, Brent said it'll be a couple of weeks. They'll get everybody together and be able to do it.
That's before fantastic. The annual meeting, then.
Before the annual meeting.
That'd be great.
Two things with that. Number one, with the annual meeting, I think someone should make a poster board. Something that says about no campfires at individual cabins. Just something kind of interesting with it. And if that gentleman is still going to be here, I don't remember his name, that presented from Cedar Mountain the way to do this, I think that if he gives a little presentation, we have some kind of a poster, it might be a good idea to follow through. And then, number two, take some pictures of the lemon trim area around cabin 2 so that if somebody's here, you take the pictures, we can show the people what we expect to have happen, and this is a good example. So Joe and I can make some kind of a poster for you. If someone has pictures, I don't know if we're going to be up at that time. But just make that really the focal point for this annual meeting to see what's going on.
The more posters, the better. In a minute, when it's my turn, we're going to talk more about posters and stuff, too. So that's a great idea.
One last thing, just by way of information. I know that a citation was issued to one of our members on the ranch for illegal burning out of podunk. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, John, you had a question a minute ago.
Oh, I'm just going to agree with Brad about the fire rings there. The guests that come up here, they don't necessarily understand our fire problem here. And a fire ring that's there, it just suggests that you can do it. And if it isn't there, there's no suggestion.
Yeah.
If they got a roast wieners, they can do it on their barbecue grill. And so I was just going to back that in. That's all.
Great. Hey, Joe, cabin maintenance.
Okay. Well, we've had a few problems. The cabin number one, the septic backed up. Alan got the backhoe, dug it up, found out that everything was damaged and crushed, including the leach bed. So we are installing a new one, and Alan's involved in that. And number two, cabin number two, all of a sudden got infested with mice, which we weren't surprised they were in there, but we were surprised there were that many. So Alan's torn the ceiling completely out of the master bedroom. Either they cleaned it all up. It was quite a mess.
They were there like that 15 years ago when I used to stay in that cabin.
So what I've done is I've got with John, and he has tongue and groove in his cabin. I got tongue and groove in my cabin and in my bunkhouse. I've ordered, by the way, Alan, 150 square feet of tongue and groove. I think it's going to be $141. We'll get with you and Mariah. It won't be ready until next Thursday. I was hoping it was going to be ready Tuesday or something, or Wednesday at the latest, and we're going to get four people and go up there and try to knock it out in one day. But it turns out now John's leaving, and it'll just be me and you, it looks like, and maybe Brad can come up with these three. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to help, but I have a grandson going on.
We'll try to knock that out, but I got enough lumber to do the entire bedroom, and I want you to buy some, I got a list for you, buy some more concrete wallboard, and we'll try to put it around the perimeter, see if we can get that cabin up to specs and make it better than it's ever been, hopefully. So a lot of work in front of us, and thank you for staying on top of it as much as you have. Other than that, don't have anything else new.
Can I bring up one thing that people that just stayed in 7 and 8, since we're talking about cabin, they were asking if picnic tables could be provided to cabin in the summer, because they don't want to eat inside. It's so hot. So they were just asking if we would bring it up to the board to pass it on to you guys, if it would be feasible to have at least one picnic table
out on their porch there.
Someplace up on the by the cabin. So
that's not a bad idea. Maybe we could put it on our wish list, and so if we have funds available, that's something that we could go ahead and
put it on our budget as we make our budget this next year, and then have them for the springtime.
Speaking of that, too, I was going to ask you in your spare time if you ever have any. There's a bench like these big ones you just painted green. There's one on the porch on one. It needs to be painted green also, I think. It looks pretty
shabby. Where did that come from?
I don't know where it's been up there for a long time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There should be. I agree. It should be on
here. Somebody took it up there. But if one's up there, why shouldn't all of them have it?
They should. But, it has to be a smaller one than this, because cabin 7 and 8, you put a bench that big and there won't be room to walk around it.
Well, even something like these.
Yeah, something like this would work good, yeah.
They have the Lifetime at Costco, the Lifetime table that is smaller than those, but bigger than that. And the Lifetime, I know also in St. George, is the Lifetime warranty. You don't have to paint.
So, I think we're
sure. They're available. I think they're about $100.
Is it something they could drive away with?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's nice enough, they might just...
Oh, speaking of the cabin number two that we're doing, next time you're in town, if you would check with, Lumber Plus, see what a screen door would cost for the two doors. Because if we go through all this trouble to fix this cabin and make it mouse-proof, and it's so hot they sleep with the doors open at night, we've defeated our purpose. So I think we're going to have to put a good screen on cabin two to prove that, yes, we can be mouse-proof. But if they open the doors and sleep at night, they'll come in like gangbusters. So get a price and let me know, and we'll make a decision on that.
Hey, Renee.
I was just thinking about picnic tables. You're emailing about something else. A lot of times people have picnic tables in their yard that they just don't care about. This is the same thing if you've been in the members have any tables, any picnic tables, I suppose, that they want to donate.
Okay. We can tell Mariah
that. That's all I got.
Okay. John.
Okay, I pretty much went over votes here in Dalton earlier, so I don't need to go on that. right now, but what I would like to talk about is this would, I think, comes in on legal and safety. Some of you already know about it, but and part of this is hearsay on who put it in. Somebody, and I was told that it was Dave.
Yeah, I don't want to do that executive meeting.
Yeah, don't name names. Well, anyway, I'll leave that out, that part out. But a diving board was installed on number three pond, and it was high in the air. It's probably 1.5 times as high above the water as the water was deep below the water. Okay. I've been in the swimming pool business all my life. And when we first started building pools, years ago, we put diving boards on just about every residential. But then they began to go away simply because so many people were getting hurt diving, breaking necks, shoving one another off the side, hitting coping and hurting themselves, lawsuits and insurance. Insurance for people who have a swimming pool and out of sight. My point is that diving board was there, and if we left it there, we would be approving it as a board. And I asked Alan to take it down because if we have a guest come out here and dive off of that thing, mm-hmm. and a kid breaks his neck from the bottom of the pool, the bottom of the pond, you can imagine what we would have.
Seems like we've taken them down multiple times now.
Well, it's got to be stopped, because sooner or later, somebody's going to get hurt.
So we'll talk in our executive meeting as to maybe particulars if we know the person that keeps doing it.
Yeah, well,
I think we kind of do. And maybe we'll have Barry send him a legal letter.
Yeah, because even he put it up. A person put it up themselves, that since it's on our property here, it could still be a suit. So
yeah.
We need to put a stop to that. Other than that, Alan took it down. Thank you, Alan. And so as for now, we're good.
Okay. That pretty much it?
Pretty much it.
Okay, let's go back then. I think we've covered all things except for the annual meeting, which is upon us. I mean, it's a, what is it, the 12th of September? It's the second?
Ninth. Yeah,
9th of September?
9th.
It's the second Saturday anyway in the month. So I think Mariah's not here. I think we started a tentative agenda there, but let me go through that, what I remember and what I think we should do, but I want to emphasize one thing. You know, we don't have 300 members, but we have 300 lots and various numbers of members, and they all have different ideas and thoughts, and why haven't you done this, or the best thing that I found that we do for the annual meeting is to publicize what's taken place at the ranch since the last annual meeting. Like what cabins had what done to them, or even changing the septic thing, but porches or roofs or mouse control or whatever. Roads, what we've done culvert-wise in roads. The farming thing. Where we're at, and we're in application for this and for that, and we've been working on this fence, and we're working with the Hunts on the cow lease, and the legal, this thing we're sending out to try and replace that one part of our, if they'll know about that, but at any rate, and even that the covered wagons came through here, so. One year we had maps here with all the names of the different roads on it, and we had people name their road. When I was president 8 or 10 years ago, I handed out a a booklet. And I had every area, and we had it all in print. But also, Barbara Button and I made some very graphic, some boards detailing all of this, you know, different things. So, Mariah's not here, but for instance, Brad, what do you think you should report on?
Maybe probably exactly that, just what we've done. Elected us to be working did while we're here.
And the more, any kind of pictures or illustration that we have is really good. So I'd like to challenge each area to have 3x5 poster at least done as neatly as you want, or incorporate post pictures as you can, if you can. If you want to take pictures of a road and it's culvert if you want, or the gravel pit, or Joe, something about the cabins, because they sometimes hear a few things in a newsletter. They come here wanting to know, how did we take care of the ranch this year? And if you inform and appease that kind of question, then there's just a different attitude or feeling or community or camaraderie or whatever at the annual meeting. The biggest thing I've tried to do in the past, and then my biggest thing is instead of dreading the annual meeting, I've learned to want to try to not dread it, but look forward to it, to be able to see different members and that kind of stuff. So we've done a lot to avoid conflicts, but they're still out there. There's still strong feelings about doing this or doing that or this project or why haven't you done this or that. So let me go to run down a typical annual meeting, and you guys help add too. And I think Mariah has a little outline, but I'll pass this along to her. But usually we usually start at about 10 o'clock. Is that right? Yes.
It's already been, I think, sent out in the newsletter and the ballot and information in here as to approximately what we're going to do. I've been in
that's what I think, yeah.
And she has between 10 and 11 meet the cabinet. Who's here, kind of mingle, 11 o'clock, have the meeting, 12 o'clock is lunch.
Okay. Well, I couldn't remember.
And in saying that, I've contacted the Hunt, and I've got to finalize it with them as to food. I picked up all the paper goods, and then we'll go from there. Sunshine has finalized the entertainer. My viewing will be here for an hour.
Okay.
We have that. I have contacted Jody again and asked if she could put something on the website. I contacted Mariah, and we pushed the issue of the potluck and then auction. John Harris offered to do an auction and sell the items that we have.
Okay, back up just for a minute. 10 to 11, meet the candidates.
Meet the candidates.
And that's when I think we should have our posters up, too, and the board should be here to mingle and explain, answer questions, all of that. But now this the meeting starts, and don't we usually vote and collect ballots early on so it can be being counted while we're in lunch? So this 11 to 12 part, I don't think, you know, in years past we've had each person running for the board stand up and talk, but we're not going to do that.
No, it's just the mingling between 10 and 11, the kind of mingling. 11 to 12, have your meeting, your presentations from different areas of responsibility. Perhaps even have that gentleman speak something about the fire protection and what we're trying to get into as a committee and members' involvement with fire protection. I don't know if someone has to contact him again and make sure that he's here at a specific time, lunch around noon. We have entertainment around noon. I've gotten some names of people to help me on the committee to set up as well as clean up. And then between 12 and 1, my assumption is you're eating, you have entertainment, and votes are being counted.
Okay, so in that meeting, 11 to 12, I'm going to greet everybody, but usually we read the minutes, too, right, in that time.
Yeah. But that's understood, that that's what's happening at that time.
Yeah, so help me out with that part, 11 to 12. Would it be out of order to vote right off the bat so we can make sure, because that sometimes lingers and takes a long time to go through. So I would greet them. I would suggest then at this time we would like to gather your votes so we can start on that. And then we'll have Jeff read the annual minutes from last year, and
Jody financial,
and then Jody financial. Mm-hmm. Now areas of responsibility. Do we want to rehash all of that, or do we want to have that just on the posters and do the same thing from 11 to 12? That sometimes takes a long time. To do, or do we want to do that in that time? Have each board member talk about that? I'd say we only have that hour. The fire protection guy, he usually, I can guarantee he probably will. Well, we can tell him how many minutes
he'll
we want him to,
half,
but he'll talk for. He'd want to talk for half an hour at least.
Or you can have him here at 10. Same time you have all your boards available.
Mm-hmm.
Can have him say something or work on
it.
Like that idea. 10 and 11, same thing.
Let's do that. I like that idea best, too.
Let's limit them to X number of minutes.
Because he wanted to set up some kind of a booth.
Well, then I think we'll go ahead and have you guys talk about the cabins, about the roads, because they'll have questions, and I think that would be a good time to do that.
And people know when you start talking, sometimes you can keep going and it takes too much time, but if you say, give it 5 minutes, go overall. If they want to look at what you're showing up here, they can follow through that way. But I know different learners are listeners. Some of them actually visual. They have to see it. Some of them have to hand drawing, touch of kinesthetic. But the key is let them hear it, let them see it, let them buy into it.
Okay. What did we end up doing or not? We're going to have a silent auction?
No.
No?
Oh. Silence don't work as well as
the bidding. Are we going to have like we auction off a pig or anything like that? Do we have anything like that lined up?
No, we don't have. We're going to have to depend on donations. If we could sell a peacock, donations of people we need to try to get.
I tell you, on KSL, you can buy those peacocks for about $60.
Well, that would be nice.
Super.
I guess I'll have to get Breaker Forge open.
I have 3 live turkeys left over from Thanksgiving last year, but we'd have to bring the stinking thing out here.
Yep.
Or else they could just bring a picture and they can buy it and then they can pick it up whenever.
It's St. George.
alive, though.
Yeah.
Alive.
You don't want to have to kill it for them.
I was with the photographer, so it looks good.
In the past, the silent auction, what we've had, have been enough to pay for the annual meeting event.
Food and stuff.
The food, the entertainer, everything that we have. So we're talking, you know, $400 or $500. Last year, we got $660. The only problem is, the year before, the auction didn't go. So that's why we had to use some of the money out of the auction last year to pay for the auction itself. It's usually it's a pay forward. We have the money, it's put into the account in the budget saying we have $500 to spend on the annual meeting. And that's what I have this year. I cleared it with Jody, and that's what I have to work with. And people have been, they've had shotguns, they've had marinators, I mean, lots of different things.
So we're going to have that auction up out loud then.
Yeah.
Out loud.
And that's
going to be the auction. After lunch, when the votes
So we have the auction at 1?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we going to have an open time? What we've done in the past is we've had an open time after all of this. For those who want to, we go over there, we sit in the shade, and it's kind of their time to talk about or make suggestions as to future things about the ranch or gripe about something.
Well, it really depends on how long it's going to take for the voting process, getting all that done. And that's always a filler that we use because we kind of follow through.
I know what you can do. I need to say, announce right up front, there's this box of paper. If you have any issues you'd like to suggest or talk about, put it in. And then when the time comes, you'll say, we have whatever, half hour. We'll take as many out of here as...
So after the auction, we will have an open discussion. But should we close the annual? My question is always: I think we close the annual meeting. We close the annual meeting first, and then just have that discussion as a add-on discussion. Because otherwise, some people might push for some kind of on the spot. I want a yes or no on this. Right now, let's have a vote, which we're not supposed to have votes if we haven't given all the members warning or, you know, notice or whatever, some major thing.
Are you anticipating anything like that?
I don't anticipate it, but we have oftentimes have
sure.
had it happen. It's kind of like the shootout at the OK Corral. They bring in the bandits and the rabble-rousers cause trouble, and then that's when emotions and everything get fiery. And if I'd prefer to close the meeting because we'll have done our duty. The meetings to have a hearing about what's happened and to elect our future officers. And that's basically it. It's not to promote... one faction or another. It's not a campaigning thing. Or pushing for a vote or asking people to be taken off the board or stuff like that. Which could happen. I haven't heard of anything so far.
No.
I really like the suggestion box due to the fact during that 10 to 11 o'clock you can face something then in terms of if you have anything you want to bring up, the questions you might have, or future ideas, put it in the suggestion box. Number one, it's anonymous. Take the person out of the ring.
Yeah.
They're not, and then whoever pulls it out, if it's you, Phil, and you can look at it, and you can read it, and different people can address the issue.
Because I think it's good to have a discussion about different things and ideas. That part I like a lot.
And then you can have a procedure with a suggestion or whatever you want.
Yeah. All right, and it can't go too long because we need to always have our little board meeting afterwards. So,
who's counting the votes?
Generally, we've left that up to our secretary to have. I can't remember the numbers. We've had like one or two people that aren't even members of the ranch. Mariah's in charge of usually doing that, and then. Then in the past, if we've had, we've allowed one observer from...
I thought there were about five people in the room.
Yeah.
Raya coordinates it. She has a letter for every person that's in there. They have to sign for confidentiality.
Yeah.
She already has that letter ready. So...
But sometimes Dale has been so concerned about this or that, wanted a... He's wanted somebody from his camp in there. It's been a hotly contested item or a vote. And so we've allowed one observer, but they have to only observe. They don't count. They don't.
Then you know how you can that should be your non. Maybe if you have like another box or whatever. If you want to volunteer to be in the booth, put your name in and somebody can draw out a name and that way it's not somebody's person, it's somebody else.
So I don't know that we have that kind of controversy this year, or would have somebody be pushing for that or not. Any feeling on that? We never know. In the week or two right before the meeting is when usually we get missiles launched.
Then just have, like, say there's 10 people that would maybe want to observe. Say I'm thinking of a number, or have somebody think of a number, and then have everybody
get a number, and then that's a good way to go about it. Do we need to even worry about it or do that this year? Okay. Then I would announce it. We would take those names and have a drawing. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Suggestions? Requests? Then I think we've covered our business today, and I would move that we adjourn our meeting till, yes?
I had a question. Is there anybody that can get an airsoft up there on the airport runway?
I'm going to look. I'll look in my trailer. I got a trailer of 100,000 things. I think we have something laying around there. Yeah.
I would assume we have to have it there legally, don't we, since it is registered for emergency landing.
We don't have to legally.
No.
It's but it would look nicer. It would be prudent and nice.
Anybody use the airport? Not for a long time.
I don't think this year it's been used. I think I sold my plane, and I think what's his name from over at Page? I haven't seen his plane at all. He had a 182.
Same thing.
It is on the geological survey map, right?
Well, it's listed by the state of Utah on aeronautical maps as a private strip, and it hasn't been decommissioned or anything.
Maintained?
It's just a dirt and grass strip. That's all there is. I used to maintain it.
By it looked like the sagebrush is pretty high. I didn't even see the strip.
Well, if you get right over on the strip,
and it used to be. I was the only one that maintained it. I would pay to have it mowed. I'd pay to have it graded. I'd pay for everything.
And because a lot of members, since hardly any members used it, they didn't want it to be a burden on the membership. So when we had our, do we still have the brush hogger?
Brush hogger's working, yeah.
It probably... for some liability question, because in an emergency they can try to put it down there, and since it is a strip and we don't, and it's totally out of whack, but it's on the aeronautical maps, I don't know how liable we'd be. Generally, you're not liable because they're not supposed to land without written permission. But in a case of emergency, the pilot declares an emergency, he can land his little plane right there in Las Vegas.
We wouldn't want him to get hurt because we didn't have our stuff together.
They had an emergency. A plane had to land.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we wouldn't want somebody to get hurt because we didn't have something up there so they could read wind direction.
I think it'd be good to...
What a net they can make one.
I think it'd be good to knock down the brush. Just to go up
on the grader or something that might take a lot of the brush out of
it. Yeah. It was graded pretty good, Alan, as far as the water running off. So I don't know that I'd even touch it with a grader. I just use the...
Well, it's that water that's run through it. It needs to be graded a little bit.
If there's some ditches...
It's already washed, though.
That's why I bought big tires like this, because I go through ditches, rocks, and over... holes on the ground and
run over cows. Yeah, those cows out there, you know, they can't read.
Okay.
It says not to get on that.
So let's see, Barry might be getting on right away. We want a beating before he's back. So I'm making a motion that we adjourn the meeting unless there's any other business.
I'll second it.
Hey, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Jody.
Yep.